I'm going to keep asking you this question because you're going to have more and more time to answer it. What do you think of Cam Ward so far?
He's been great. I love his competitiveness. He is a tremendously gifted football player, and he's still learning a lot about himself. You know, just having conversations with him in the weight room and his and just talking football with him, and the things that he's talking about and recognizing, and things that he needs to get better at. He's relentlessly in pursuit to try to be the best version of himself every day, not just physically but mentally. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've said it before, guys like him, they don't fail. And so we're like, I've said it a million times to anyone who wants to talk to me, man. Tennessee Titans are in good hands with this dude.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor at TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, the Yada Yada King, my co-host, Justin Mello. How you doing today, Justin?
Doing well. Beautiful Friday, late morning for the live stream. Our last one for a couple weeks. As you've warned the people, we're going to have episodes on Fridays, the next couple Fridays, but they'll be pre-taped, edited episodes. Won't be a live stream with the Audible Army. So make sure you're in here today. Do what you got to do. Take off work. Leave your wife, as I always say. You're in here for the Friday MCA live stream. How are you doing, Justin Graver?
I'm doing good. I should say the Music City Audible's official stance on leaving your wife is that we don't encourage it unless that's the best thing for your life. I mean, I don't know what situation your relationship's in. So who knows?
Maybe your wife, wife sucks. You don't know.
You don't know. Maybe she doesn't let you watch the Music City Audible on Fridays at 10:30 a.m. I know I'm not leaving my wife anytime soon. But Justin, today we are doing an exciting topic here. I've been saving this for a bit. Titans over under predictions for the 2026 season, looking at player stat projections and whether or not we think the Titans will go over or under. We're not making up these projections, the numbers, the lines that we're starting with. We're using the ones that are out there. And I think today we're going to go through the prize picks lines because I think that there's a decent amount up right now already for Titans players. But I think these would probably be similar numbers over on Underdog or if you're using just a sports book, prop lines. Quick disclaimer, we do not encourage anyone to gamble or spend their money. Never gamble more money than you can afford to lose. Always play responsibly if you're going to play at all. We're doing this just for fun, and we might check in on it at the end of the season just because we like tying up loose ends on this show. But excited to dig into some of these numbers. We got Cam Ward, Tony Pollard, Carnell Tate, Wandale Robinson, Gunnar Helm, even Calvin Ridley has stat projections. So we're going to talk through more or less, as it's called on Prize Picks, over or under for every single one of those today. I'm excited to get into it, Justin.
Yeah, me as well. I quickly glanced at these numbers before starting the stream, and to be totally honest with you, and in fairness, going to go over on a lot of them, but I'm going to go under on some of them as well. Not going to let the bias play too much of a role in this decision-making. And the chat's already on fire, by the way. We've got so many great comments. Someone asked, what are we going to do for these next few weeks without having Gary Soto funding the show? I don't know about you, Graver, but I've already thought ahead, and I'm going to be eating canned carrots for dinner these next couple weeks. I don't know about you, but just got to
Well, here's
know,
what I'll say.
Smart.
We'll have plenty of live streams during training camp to make up for the 3 weeks that we're going to be not live, so I think we'll be fine. Maybe delayed gratification there on the Gary Soto front. But no, we appreciate the entire Audible Army, everyone, for stopping by the live stream. Make sure you like the stream. Like it so other people can see it live in their YouTube feeds and jump on in here and so they don't miss out. Send the link to a friend. Subscribe to the channel if you're not subscribed. I'd be surprised if you're not subscribed and you're in here watching the show, but I might as well say it anyway. Get subscribed to this channel and let's get off and running here, Justin. Getting into these over-under picks, starting with Cam Ward's lines here. Now, the first one up is the passing yards. Prize Picks has Cam Ward. And I should say, by the way, we are not sponsored by Prize Picks. But if Prize Picks wants to, like, jump on in here and drop us a code or something so that we get a kickback on anybody who goes and plays, I'd appreciate it. But as of now, no sponsorship. This is just the cleanest way to do it, honestly. So we're using Prize Picks. Cam Ward, 3,399.5 passing yards. It's an interesting line, Justin. A lot of the time, you will see lines like this suppressed a little bit from either like their career. If we're talking a more veteran player, maybe their career average or even where they were last year, because these books built price in the potential for injury. It's just part of the game when you're playing these things. But what's interesting is that Cam Ward threw for 3,169 passing yards in 16 and a tenth of a game last season. So they're projecting this line is higher than he was last season. It's not that high in terms of like the entire NFL. Like, where would 3,400 passing yards have ranked last year? Not that high, but in the top 15. So in the top 12 or top 13. So can Cam Ward essentially be a top 13 yardage wise passer this season? Can he have about 200 more passing yards than he had last year? I think this is actually a pretty tough call for me. Where do you come down on this one?
I'm going to go over, and I don't think it's the bias talking. I mean, they were an abysmal football team last year. They were really bad on offense with a bunch of different coaches and play callers and rookie fourth-round receivers being the go-to options. I mean, you just said it. Can he have 200 more yards, roughly, than he did last year? I mean, I think yes. I think for me, my expectation is, and this is, I know this isn't blowing it out of the water, but like if I were setting my own line, I'm going like 3,500 to 37. I think it's probably the sweet spot for what I expect. Anything over that, you know, 38 to 4, I think that's an unbelievable year for Cam Ward. But I'm kind of setting my expectation in that 35 to 3,700 window. So for me, that puts him over this projection here.
So one interesting note on this is that if Cam had finished last year with 231 more passing yards, he would have had 3,400 on the dot. He obviously left that Week 18 game after going 3-for-3 for 52 yards on the opening drive, meaning if he had stayed in that game and finished it with 283 passing yards, he would have crossed this number. The caveat there is he did not exceed 283 right. passing yards in any single game last season.
But even if he had 150 in that game, right? Like an extra 100 from what he finished with, he'd have been a lot closer.
He would have been a lot closer, obviously. And I do think like I think he definitely has a chance to do this. He's got to play all 17 games to hit this number, I think.
Yep.
He's got to be a bit more productive. Better offensive system, better pass catchers who are going to create more yards after catch and more explosive plays down the field and not let the balls bounce off their hands on perfectly thrown over-the-shoulder slot fades like Van Jefferson did at times last year. I mean, Cam didn't start any other game 3-of-3 for 52 yards, so maybe he does have his best passing day if he stays healthy for that whole game. We can safely settle on the over here, Justin, if that's where you want to go. I think it's like 50-50 for him to cross this number. I think there's definitely more of a chance than we're giving him credit for, or we're giving the Titans credit for this offense to start the year very slow, figuring out the offensive line as things gel, leaning more on the run game as Cam Ward gets a better grasp of Brian Daboll's system. Like, I don't think it's impossible to think that the first month of the season could be more or less a bottom five offense before it sort of starts to take off from there, which you'd hope that it would take off. There's no guarantee that it does, but for the sake of making a pick on this show, let's take the over. Why not? The over is more fun than the under, right?
I feel somewhat comfortable with the over here. Like I said, I think you're a bit more skeptical than I am, and I get it. They weren't good last year, and there might be some growing pains early on, new offense, new system, and you can't start slow, right? That would really hurt his chances of reaching this number, but I feel pretty good about the over.
Yeah, and as Roster Grids points out, the Titans were on pace to win that game 84-0 when Cam went down. I'd love to know what the chat thinks, so let us know. Over or under this passing yards number in the chat. We're going to move on to passing touchdowns. Over-under's pretty low here. 18.5 passing touchdowns for Cam Ward. Again, this is definitely a bit suppressed, like taking into account the risk of injury.
Sure.
Cam finished last year with 15 passing touchdowns. 18... Or 19, sorry, what is it? 18.5, 19 touchdowns would have been good for 21st in the NFL last year. For reference, Geno Smith, who played 15 games, Daniel Jones, who played 13 games, C.J. Stroud, who played 14 games, all three of those guys threw 19 touchdown passes last year. I feel like maybe I'm the one being a bit too optimistic now. This number feels way low. I mean, if he only throws 19 touchdown passes next year, there's going to be conversations after the season.
I think it's low too. And if I'm going over on the passing yardage, I almost have to go over on the touchdowns. Yeah. My expectation here, I said 35 to 3,700 passing yards. I think here I'm at like 22 to 25 is sort of the window I fall into with where I, how many touchdowns I expect Cam Ward to throw. So, I mean, 15 last year and like the debacle that I mentioned, right? Like of what they were. Especially also as a coaching staff, can he get four or more? Like, yes, I feel like he can. Heck, I hope he gets, you know, seven or eight more.
And it is, as this commenter Daniel points out, that's like 1.1 touchdowns per game. Yes, almost exactly. It's 1.1176470 touchdowns per game. It's pretty low. I mean, he could probably put, I mean, I would hope that he could throw 19 touchdown passes if he only plays 15 games, you know, like this right. is a low number, so we don't really need to spend too much time on it. But I do think what you said, like cross 20, anything from 20 to 25 is a good season. Anything more than that is like he took a major second year leap and we're going to be very ecstatic. This next one we're going to do is Cam Ward rushing stats. This is going to be much harder for me to predict. Actually, we have one more before we get to rushing. 300 yard passing games. More than one or less than one? He had zero as a rookie. Can he have one 300-yard passing game? And also, if he has one, that's a, I guess that's a push. That's not actually going over one. So right. should we set the line at 1.5? Because that's basically what it means. I would hope he can have two 300-yard passing games, but I don't know if I would bet on it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd bet on more than one. I think he's going to get his first for sure. The only thing stopping me from going more than one is like, I think they're going to be a pretty good defense, hopefully. Right. So maybe they're not in a lot of shootouts. Maybe they're not, you know, losing 21-0 and have to go into pass happy mode, right? Like, I think they're going to play, you know, the close games, try to run the football. So I think he has at least his first of his career, but I'm not going to sit here and say I think he's going to have a bunch of them.
Not that this is directly correlated or related, but how many do you know off the top of your head how many Jackson Dart had last year?
Oh, I have no idea. He left so many games hurt. I've got no clue.
He had zero.
Yeah,
his high in a game last season was 283. I don't know if Brian Daboll's offense, like you said, if the defense is as good as we hope it can be, can he get there? I feel like to get to
1 to 2.
I feel like to get to 3,400 passing yards, he's probably going to have one or two games in there.
Right.
Is 1 to 2 enough for us to lean more? I mean, I'd say it's more likely he has two than that he has zero. So
same.
I think we should choose more on this one. And finally, rushing touchdowns. 1.5 is the line rushing touchdowns for the season. I'd actually be pretty surprised if he went under this number.
Me too.
And not because he was some kind of rushing touchdown god last year, but he ran for two rushing scores last season in a season where he was barely running the ball, didn't really start taking off and using his legs until at least halfway through the season. And we know Brian Daboll has consistently run his quarterbacks in the past. Like, I think of like all those zone read touchdowns that Ryan Tannehill scored with Derrick Henry at his side. He had like five or six in a season, I feel like, at one point. I think that Cam's comfortably going to rush for about three touchdowns this year, and it wouldn't shock me if it was at four or five.
I was going to say three, just based on the way, I mean, you said everything I was going to say. He started running the ball more towards the end of the year, and we know Brian Daboll's history with Daniel Jones and Josh Allen. Mind you, those guys more athletic than Cam Ward, more likely to kind of take off and run than he is, but I do think they're going to work that into the offense a little bit. I'd comfortably smash the over there, thinking he's got to get at least two. I would feel comfortable going with three.
I think if I had to rate these in order of confidence right now, I'd probably say rushing touchdowns over is my most confident.
Yep.
Passing touchdowns over is second most. Passing, I don't know. I think 300-yard games I'd be more confident in than 3,400 passing yards.
Yeah, those last two are a toss-up for me, but I'm with you on the first two. I go rushing yards first. Rushing touchdowns first, then passing touchdowns second.
Let's move on. We're going to do Calvin Ridley last. Let's do Tony Pollard here. Start with his yards. 799.5 rushing yards for Tony Pollard. Now, we've talked about it a lot, how he's one of two guys with four consecutive 1,000-yard rushing seasons. He hasn't cracked 1,000 by a ton in those games, but he has done it. And that's comfortably ahead of this line. Again, these books price in a potential injury risk. So if Tony Pollard only played 12 games, I think it'd be pretty tough for him to hit 800 yards. I also wonder how much Brian Daboll's going to split up the carries in this backfield. But I think it would have to be a pretty disappointing season for Tony Pollard to go under this line. I'm getting a little too optimistic. These aren't all going to be overs, Justin, but this one feels kind of easy. I don't know. Am I crazy?
It gives me a little pause because I do wonder, is there a cliff coming for him?
Right.
He's been healthier than, they've ran him into the ground a little bit. Like his, the age, the injury factor, the workload, the tread on the tires. They'd love to have Tajay Spears involved, but we always talk about how, that's obviously a big question mark due to health and availability.
Yeah.
This one's tough, man. Like, I get it. Like, if he's healthy and available, he's going to go over, but I might go under here. I don't know. Like, it's... I think he's above... It's so close to me, because I'm like... I think he's like 750, 775, you know what I mean? Like, it's... But as Hershey just mentioned, like, bit of a Toyota Corolla he is. Like, he just keeps going. There's no death certificate for Tony Pollard. So, yeah, I can see him having his fifth straight 1,000-yard season.
Like, he doesn't have to get to 1,000 to go over this number, you know?
No, I know.
Think 850 to 900 is, like, a perfectly realistic projection for what Pollard can do. Obviously, the offensive line matters. Is the offensive line going to be better or worse than last year? Are they going to be able to perform the way they did in the second half of last season when they really started to gel? I do think, like, as much as Tajay Spears and Pollard are going to be, they're going to be the bell cows. We heard Robert Saleh say that. How much can Tajay Spears be a bell cow without getting injured? Nick Singleton, I don't expect to be a major factor this year. So if Pollard plays 17 games, he's easily going over this number.
Yes.
I think where I'd ultimately land is I'm going to choose the over for the sake of this exercise, but I probably would not risk any real money on this one because I do think that this line is pretty apt for making it a difficult choice.
I fully agree with that. We're going to take our first break, and after the break, more overs-unders for the Tennessee Titans.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, audio audience. Let's continue right along here with Tony Pollard's rushing touchdown number. The line is set at 5, not 5.5, not 4.5. 5 rushing touchdowns for Tony Pollard. You going over or under that number?
I think I'm going over because at worst case, I think it's a push. I'd be shocked if he ran for four or fewer, right? Like, I think 5 to 8 is probably a fair expectation for him, but 4 or fewer would be pretty meh, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's had 5 in each of the last 2 years. Granted, those Titans offenses have been bad. They haven't had a lot of scoring opportunities. They haven't been down by the red zone a lot. They haven't had a ton of goal line chances the way that a lot of other teams that score more points do. So from that standpoint, I feel like 5 is the floor unless he gets hurt. Like, at the very least, he's going to get to 5 like he's done the last 2 years in a terrible offense. Can he get to 6? That's the question. It's like it's one more. If he has one more opportunity than they had last year. I don't know. I feel like I would want to take the over on this, but it's, again, it's scary because we're talking about a 29-year-old running back who could fall off the cliff at any point in time.
I'm shocked at how many Titans fans have such expectations for Nick Singleton. Hershey, is Nick the goal line back? And Daniel Caribbean follows up. Singleton could take some goal line reps. He's a big boy, so I get where your mind's going, but I just think, like, Robert Saleh, we called them the bell cows. Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. Singleton has work to do. This is a day 3 rookie back. I'm not in on Nick Singleton getting the workload that some Titans fans think he's going to get this year.
I'm with you. I think that Tony Pollard is still going to dominate the backfield touches. Maybe Spears picks up a bunch of receptions, but I don't think it's going to be a ton of work for Singleton or Mullings or Chestnut or anybody else. So I would lean the over here, but it's another one where I'm like very hesitant to actually put real money on the line. However, for the sake of this exercise, I have to clear our previous selections. For the sake of this exercise, we are going to choose the over here, which feels scary, but we're going to do it. Yes. You agree?
I think we're doing the over because, like I said, I'd be confident that it's at least a push and you don't lose in that situation, right? You want to hit a couple super chats before we get to the next one?
Yeah, I was going to say this first super chat is very Tony Pollard related, so let's hit it.
We keeping a buck right now.
From Walmart Man. Appreciate you, Walmart Man. Thank you for the support of the channel. Not to beat a dead horse, but my biggest fear for Pollard is the O-line. I mean, it's totally fair. Totally fair. Yeah, I do think I have more faith in the offensive line's ability to run block than to pass protect, but I don't know if that's misplaced.
Yeah, I mean, run blocking, every O-lineman prefers to run block versus pass protection, right? Yeah. So you'd like to think they're going to be better in that area. And I think guys like, you know, Dan Moore are better run blockers. Same with JC Latham, better run blocker than protector. Probably the same for Austin Schlotman, you know, based on what I know about his profile. So, yeah, they probably run block better than they pass protect. And thank you so much, Walmart31, for the generous $4.99 super chat tip.
We got one here from Bruce Bako. Let's come back to this one at the end, Justin, just because it's about sacks.
At least you got to at least hit the thing for him, though.
I'll hit it when we come back to it. Gary Soto.
We keeping a buck.
Bet your butt we're hitting it for Gary Soto, though. Graver's not delaying that one.
The man, the myth, the legend, $50 super chat. Thank you so much, Gary. Says, yo, what did I miss? Just got on the stream. We're doing over-under projections, Gary, for Titans players. We've already hit Cam Ward's passing yards, passing touchdowns, 300-yard passing games, rushing touchdowns, and we've done Tony Pollard rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. So rewind if you missed it.
And Gary, you'll love to know that before you even got here, as soon as we announced this is the final Friday stream for a couple weeks, the chat started flooding with comments. What are you guys going to do financially without Gary Soto's support? And I said that I'm going to be eating canned carrots for the next couple of weeks until we return to the Friday live stream. But all kidding aside, thank you so much for the support, Gary, and glad you made. You probably didn't know this was the last Friday live stream for a few weeks, so glad you made it.
I think he did. We've said it all week, and Gary's the chief of the Audible Army.
Gary's an everydayer, for sure.
I thought you were going to say that this was well-timed because we were going to take the $50 and throw it on Carnell Tate's overs. Let's talk Carnell Tate here. Carnell Tate projected for 799.5 receiving yards over under. Basically, he's got to get to 800 to hit the over. Anything less will be an under. This is another tough line for me because...
This is tough.
The Titans' passing offense has not been good for, I mean, 3-4 years since Ryan Tannehill had a good season and didn't get benched for Will Levis midway through the year. Like, that was the last time the Titans' passing offense was even functional. So can a rookie wide receiver come in here and win enough targets away from Wandale Robinson and Calvin Ridley and the sophomores to put up 800 receiving yards? I mean, that's not a low number. Of course, when Marvin Harrison did that as a rookie, it was considered a massive disappointment for a fourth overall pick. Carnell Tate, also a fourth overall pick. Would 800 yards be disappointing?
I don't think it would be disappointing because I think anything 800 plus is a phenomenal year. I think if he's in that, and maybe I'm...
Carnell Tate.
Maybe I'm nitpicking a little bit, but I think if he's in that 700 plus range, I think it's fine. Like, I'm not disappointed. I'm only disappointed if he's got like 500, 550, even 6, you know, it would feel disappointing. I'm tempted to go under here, and not by much, though. That's what's, you know, makes this a difficult line. Because if he has 750, I feel fine about that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not angry at that. But I don't know that I can get to 800. I want him to have 800 plus, obviously, but I don't know that I feel confident enough to put some imaginary bucks on it, if you will.
I kind of feel like, maybe again, I'm being too optimistic. We can't take the over on everything, Justin. Although I will say, if you're looking for reasons why that could happen, is that the Titans have been really bad for a long time, and if they take a step forward, then the books will have all of these stats mispriced. But it does seem crazy to think that all of the overs could hit. We have taken all of the overs so far. That said, I kind of want to take the over on this again because I think that Carnell Tate is going to be a dominant target hog in this offense. I know Wandale Robinson's going to get his fair share of underneath looks as well, but I do think that they're going to feed Carnell Tate. I think Brian Daboll's going to want to feed Carnell Tate, and I think Cam and Carnell Tate are going to have a pretty quick connection that we've already seen in the mini camp and in the OTA sessions, where it doesn't matter if he's open or not open, Cam will give him a shot at it. And Tate, one of the best contested ball winners to enter the draft over the last handful of years. So can he get to 800 yards? Like, how many per game would 800 yards be, Justin?
I don't know.
That would be 47 yards per game if he played
all
17.
That is low. When you put it that way, that's low. In fact, Gary Soto is so confident in it that he's putting two MCA donations on it. He's putting $100 on Carnell Tate going over 800 yards. But yeah, I mean, that's not all. When you put it that way, 47 per game, it makes me feel kind of silly for thinking about the under. I was with Walmart Man 31 initially. Like, there's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense, but you're right. OTA's minicamp looked like they might force feed him a little bit.
I think that there's going to be games where he has two catches for 17 yards, right? But that is offset by a 7-catch-for-98-yard game or a 9-for-120, which, like, those games will probably pop up as well. Now, if you look at his college game log, like, he didn't go over 50 yards that often. A lot of the time, Ohio State was dominating in the second half, yeah. So they didn't need to throw the ball, and he didn't really need to play, so that's
or
a tough...
Or they pull the starters, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough, thing to use for reasoning here. I would lean the over. You want to lean the under? Daniel Caribbean says he's going to have 50-plus yards every single game. I mean, we know that that's not how football works, but I know Daniel's being facetious there. I don't know. Over or under, Justin? We got to make a final call. Let's get some more chat in here telling us what we should pick because I'm honestly stumped.
Most people seem to be leaning over. Most people. Not everyone, but it seems like we've had some unders like the one on the screen now, but... I don't know. Let's poll, someone said. Should we poll it?
All right, fine. We'll make a poll and we'll come back to this one. Carnell Tate over under 799.
Put the hyphen in his name. Put Carnell Tate.
Okay, fine.
In the poll. I love doing that.
Over.
I'll tell you right now as you're prepping under. That, I'm going over on the touchdowns, though, I think.
It's out there. All right, vote in the poll, please. And while you're at it, like the stream. over on the touchdowns. I mean, one, to me, I'm honestly more skeptical that he'll go over on the touchdowns than I am that he'll go over on the yards. Because I think Number one, I don't know what the passing rate in the red zone is going to be like. Number two, I think Gunnar Helm is going to be a big-time red zone target. I think they're going to run the ball. I think Cam's going to run the ball. And I think 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns will be a great season. So can he get to 5? That's a tough call for me to make.
I almost feel opposite of you. Like, I feel like, you know, like Wandell Robinson's not a big red zone target, right? Fair. So it's... And the other receivers, it's hard to say how they're going to use them, right? Until we see them actually separate from each other. Ridley, Ioman, or DK. Yeah, Gunnar Helm, but he's still a tight end who's sharing reps with Bellinger. Like, I think, yeah, like, I agree with Stingray. I think Carnell Tate's probably their best red zone target already. And I think they are going to look for him down there. I feel good about 5 touchdown catches. I really do.
All right, we're taking the over there. Check in on the poll here for yardage. 16 votes. 16 votes with 70 people in the stream seems like not enough votes. So I don't know what the deal is with the voting here, with the live chat, Audible Army. We're still at 30 likes on the stream, again, despite 70 people being here. So there's a lot of non-participant viewers lurking in this stream right now. It is what it is. I'll just leave the poll going up to 18 votes now. We'll come back to it when we get some more votes. And move on to another player here. Let's look at Wandale Robinson, who is the other guy that could lead this team in targets or yards. He's got a line of 724.5 receiving yards, has gone over 1,000 in what, each of the past 2 years? Is that right? Of course, last year
he went over 1,000, I think, this past year for the first time. But he's gone over 90 catches 2 years in a row.
That's what it is. 699 yards in 2024, 1,014 last year. I think this, like, whatever you think of Tate, I think you think the opposite of Wandale. Is that wrong to assume?
No, I think it's fair. Like, if one goes over, the other goes under. This is a tough one for me, too. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think I would lean the under here. I mean, he had 700 in that 2024 season, where Malik Nabers was mostly healthy, was a rookie, and yes, had a ton of targets and a ton of yards. And I feel like that's the model Dable's gonna follow.
Me too. Like, Tate's the guy, and then Wandell's below him. I go under here too, I think.
Let's do it. Let's take the under here, and let's go back and take the over on Tate's receiving yards. We're going over that 800, which is overwhelming majority of this poll. In 23 votes, we got 74% of people want us to take the over on Carnell Tate's receiving yards. So that seems like the right way to go. Let's take our second break.
Yeah.
Let's take our second break here, Justin. Come back, talk Gunnar Helm, Calvin Ridley, and some chat questions here that we've got. So we will be right back. Welcome back, audio audience. All right, Justin, let's do Gunnar Helm, and then we'll hit Calvin Ridley. I'm surprised, honestly, that Calvin Ridley has a projection on this website. I think it's name recognition more than anything and trying to sucker people into making a bet that they shouldn't make. But let's take a look. Gunnar Helm, 399.5 receiving yards. Ooh. That's an interesting line. He had, what, 500 last? I'm looking it up.
There's no way he had 500.
No way?
I don't think
357 last year. So this would be an increase of 43 yards to get to 400 receiving yards. I think it's possible.
I do. I go over on this. Chig is no longer in the room. We know they obviously have expectations for and a role for Bellinger, but I still think Gunnar Helm is the primary pass-catching tight end on the team now. So when you frame it that way, the primary pass catcher from the room from last year is gone. This is only about 50 more yards than he had as a rookie. The offense is going to be better. They're going to sustain more drives. Yes, they probably have more mouths to feed. So there's positives and negatives to both. But that line is so low compared to what he did as a rookie that I feel pretty good with the over.
If you're looking for historical references, last year, Brian Daboll's Giants team, of course, Brian Daboll fired halfway through the year, so maybe I should look at 2024. But first, I'll look at 2025. Theo Johnson was the leading tight end receiver with 528 receiving yards. Daniel Bellinger, who played 16 games and is going to play 16 or 17 if he stays healthy for the Titans this year, 286 receiving yards as the second receiving option in the tight end room. I think that's a pretty fair projection for what Daniel Bellinger could take away from Gunnar Helm, for lack of a better word. And Theo Johnson cleared 500 easy, which would clear 400 very easy. I'll go back one more year just for the sake of looking at it. In 2024, Theo Johnson was again the tight end leading receiver with just 331 receiving yards. Daniel Bellinger chipping in 125 in 17 games. Just a less productive year overall for the tight ends in 2024. I don't know. I feel like taking the over on this one. Maybe I'm a sucker for my hook'em boy, but it just seems too low for a guy, as you said, who's elevating to that number one tight end when the leader in the room left. And not only was Chig the leader in the room, he was the Titans' leading receiver last year.
Right. Yeah. I feel good about this over for Gunnar Helm. I'm not way over. Like, I don't know that he hits 500, but I think he's in that 425, 475 range if I had to guess.
I agree. All right, we got two more to look at here, and then we will get to some live chats, a couple more super chats that came in. And I'm going to make this one quick for me, and then you can say your piece, Justin.
Me too.
Looking at Calvin Ridley. 624.5 receiving yards, 3.5 receiving touchdowns. Maybe I am jaded and cynical and over it. This is an easy under for me. I do not see a world where Calvin Ridley plays enough snaps to go for 625 Same. Yards receiving.
I'm smashing the under on both of these, to be honest with you. The touchdowns is a little harder because it's not that many, but if I was guessing Calvin Ridley's stat line this year for these two numbers specifically, I'm going like 500 receiving yards and 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd go 500 receiving yards. Maybe
I was going to say 4. I mean, I don't think he's going for 300. That might be making you too jaded, but I think he's in the 450 to 500 range.
I agree. I think that Calvin Ridley's only going to play like 12 to 14 games, to be honest. I just think at his age, with his injury history, I think there's probably like the risk for some soft tissue thing popping up midway through the year for him is higher than anybody else in the receiver room just because of the age factor. I think down at the goal line, you're going to run a lot of 12, probably even some 13, maybe some jumbo. Like, you're not going to run 11 personnel out there down at the goal line very frequently. Maybe you will a little bit, but for the most part, when there are scoring opportunities, it's going to be Tate and Wandale on the field,
yeah,
or Tate and Iamanner, or yeah, DK and I am like,
agreed.
Ridley's not going to get that many opportunities in the red zone, I don't think. I mean, that's obviously
either. 500 yards, 2 touchdown catches. That's where I'm at with Ridley this year.
We're obviously speculating. We don't know anything about how the offense is going to function, but these are easy unders to me. This is the easiest choice that we've had to make in this entire over-under game. That is every Tennessee Titans player stat projection that is currently available on Prize Picks. We can hit some super chats now, Justin, because we got another stat that we could talk about.
We have 3 super chats to hit, I believe.
We have 3 super chats to hit, and we have one to hit that we need to come back to. So I will hit the thing for him this time. In fact, I'll play this one.
You've got to hit the, you know, hit the thing. Bryce Biko 6097. This is mine because it's a Canadian super chat tip, a $5 Canadian super chat tip. Sack totals, Jeffrey Simmons 12, John Franklin Myers 9. Change my mind. We're not going to change your mind, Bruce, because we love it. We have so I said Bryce, didn't I? Sorry, I'm far away from my screen. Sorry, Bruce. Apologies for that. I thought the U was a Y. No, we're not going to change your mind, Bruce, because we love it. 12 for Jeff, 9 for John Franklin. We did a whole episode on Jeffrey Simmons yesterday, Thursday. If you didn't catch it, go rewatch it. I think Jeff can be in that 12 to 13 sack range, and I like the number 9 for John Franklin Myers as well.
This would be career highs for both of them. John Franklin Myers' career high, 7.5. Big Jeff obviously set his career high last year with 11 sacks. But yeah, yesterday's episode, by the way, we put a lot of thought into that one, and I was very proud of the way that it came out. I thought it was a very good, just like objectively very good podcast, right? Not doing too great here on the YouTube. So if you missed it, go watch it. We appreciate all the Audible Army, everyone, for being in this live stream. But go watch it, you know? We're up to 34 likes on this stream. Still got 70 people in here. So half of you not liking the stream for whatever reason. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you're not enjoying it, but you're sticking around just to hate watch. I don't know. But we'd appreciate more likes. We'd appreciate more views on the Jeffrey Simmons episode. And we'd appreciate it if Jeff and John combined for over 20 sacks. That'd be a hell of a year for the defensive front. Next up, we have another one from Bruce Bako. Does Bruce get two drops for two donations? Yes, he does.
We're keeping a buck.
Damn right he does. He's keeping it a buck. In fact, he's keeping it another five Canadian bucks on this one by saying, I like these hypothetical betting projections. Thanks. No, thank you, Bruce, for your generosity and your support of the channel. Glad you're enjoying the episode.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much, Bruce. And we got another one from Walmart, man. Oh, my goodness gracious. Gets the oh my goodness gracious for his second super chat, $4.99. Wide receiver totals. These are Walmart man's projections. Tate, 850. That hits the over. Ridley, 750. Ooh. That would hit the over. That's a lot of yards. Wandale, 900. That would hit the over. DK, 400. Everybody else, 500. So Gunnar Helm fitting into that. Maybe doesn't hit his over of 400 yards if everybody else combines for five. That assumes 3,400 passing yards, and it's based on nothing but vibes. I feel like the total is probably pretty close to about accurate. I don't know if I'd divide it up this way. That's a lot of yards for Ridley and Wandale.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not a bad projection.
It's not bad, but I think it's a bit too much for Ridley and Wandale. And I think Io Manor might have probably take some of the chunk that you've awarded some of those guys here. Maybe DK has another 100, you know, compared to what you've given him here. So I do think pretty good, but I would probably change a couple of them.
Yeah, same. Here's a question from Ray Skull. How do we feel about USA losing the match last night? Look, that was an insane finish to the World Cup game.
What a
versus
second
Turkey.
Half.
Crazy second half. I felt like from the moment Pulisic was put back in the, was, you know, made his re-entrance after the calf injury, the energy on for the U.S. and just like a relentless attack, so many chances on goal, couldn't get anything past the keeper or on net when they had a chance to, which really sucked. And losing the game that the way that they lost it in the final seconds of stoppage time, 98th minute, was crazy. I did feel like both the first goal and that last goal the U.S. conceded were pretty horrible, like, defensive play, like, just allowing a major bust in the
defense. If I remember correctly, the first Turkey goal was pretty nice. Like, it was pretty good ball movement.
It was
to get
really
that
nice,
ball.
Like, passing and spacing, but
yeah.
The U.S. did a terrible job just being back and in position. I don't know. I'm not a soccer expert, but I've played my fair share.
I'm going to rant about Canada finishing second in their group and not getting a home game in the knockout round, having to go to L.A. to play a knockout game when the country's hosting the tournament as well, and they don't get a home game. Don't get me started on that. But I think we caught a break getting South Africa in the round of three. I might eat my words. I thought it was going to be Korea. I was shocked when we learned it was South Africa. I'll take that every day. But we'll see what happens Sunday. And you bet your butt I'm pumped for Portugal-Colombia tomorrow in Miami, 7:30 Eastern. Maybe the best game of the group stage, in all honesty, is Portugal-Colombia tomorrow night.
Wow, all right. Another question for you from Hershey Forever. I'm not even going to try to say what this is trying
Mello,
to say.
Mello, does Nyes or Austin Matthews get traded tonight? Tonight's the NHL draft. The Leafs have the number one pick. We're expecting a lot of movement. And there's been if you're not an NHL fan, like, it's been fun the last couple of days, like, crazy trade after crazy trade. Probably the most activity I've ever seen trade-wise around the NFL draft. Hershey, I hope not. I don't think so, and I hope not. I'll be disappointed if either Nyes or Matthews gets traded tonight. I don't think they will, but that might be my wishful thing. Matthews would be stunned. I think Matthews is staying. I know there's been a lot of chatter around Nyes. I don't think you trade away 23-year-old power forwards who score 30 goals and have been clutch for you in the playoffs when no one else has, in all honesty. So, no, I hope the Leafs keep both Nyes and Matthews tonight.
Justin, I think Bruce Bako just loves hearing these different
drops. We keeping a book right now.
because another $5 Canadian super chat for the comment, assumed cash fund. Thank you so much, Bruce. Maybe this is three super chats helps cover, you know, the next 3 weeks with no live streams. We really appreciate the support of the channel. Another question here, one that I don't necessarily want to think about, but we can think about it. Robert Lights, do you think there is any chance if Cam struggles and we have the number one pick next year, we take top quarterback Arch Manning, hook him? I'll give you the hook him.
Wow.
If the Titans finish the season with the number one overall pick, I might quit being a fan of the sport altogether.
Yeah, that would be unbelievably disappointing. I mean, I don't think there's any way that they finish the year with the number one pick. I would be shocked. And even I almost just said, even if Cam Ward were to get hurt, I still don't think, because I think Mitch Trubisky would be all right enough for them to avoid getting the number one pick. The Dolphins, the Cardinals, the Browns, like, there's a lot of really bad football teams this year. And listen, if the Titans, like, I don't want to even play out this scenario, but if they did get the number one pick, something went horribly wrong with Cam Ward, and we'd be naive to think it wouldn't be a possibility. I mean, we're talking about Arch Manning.
Totally.
They probably would pull a Josh Rosen in that scenario, to be blunt with you. But I don't see any realistic scenario whatsoever where the Titans get the number one pick in the draft this coming year. And I hope they better not. And I don't think they...
Yeah. I don't even want to entertain the possibility, but I will entertain it quickly by saying, if that happens, you're probably hiring a new general manager.
Oh, God.
And you're probably drafting a new quarterback. I might quit.
I'm with you. I might, like, forget that. If they're, like, I can't do the sell myself on a regime change every year.
Same. And that would, I mean, you'd be back in the same rhythm of nonsense. I don't see it happening. I think you have to be so, so bad to get the number one
pick. There's going to be a two-win team in the NFL this year, or maybe less. Like, there's going to be a one. I think the Dolphins, the Cardinals, I think they're all so bad.
Like, the Titans should be able to luck their way into four wins, which should keep them at least out of number one pick.
The worst case scenario. The worst case scenario.
I'm not saying the Titans are definitely not a bad team. Like, the Titans could be a bad team this year, this first year under Saleh. But number one pick bad? I mean, that's extreme.
I got to put a smile on my face, so I'll answer this. Who's, and obviously it's Ronaldo. Don't get me freaking started on this thing. I was so happy to see everyone write him off the other day before he scored those two goals. I'm not a messy guy. I got to stop talking because I'm going to say something I regret. Cristiano Ronaldo every day of the week.
Kitty Cat Jones disagrees. Kitty Cat Jones thinks that the best player in World Cup history is Kylian Mbappe.
You know what? He's not wrong in a way. Like, all kidding aside, and by the way, this feeds my Messi hate. Everyone freaking out over Messi breaking the World Cup goals record the other day. He's placeholding it for Mbappe. It doesn't matter. Mbappe's three goals away from him. He's 11 years younger and played half the World Cup games. Mbappe is going to be the greatest international stage player we've ever seen. He is going to break that World Cup goal scoring record in his sleep. And he might win a second World Cup already this year.
We're up to 40 likes on the stream. I'd love to get to 50 by the time we end it. And we're going to end it pretty soon. So I need everyone to immediately take their phones. If you're watching on your phone, turn it from horizontal to vertical, find the thumbs up button and click it. If you're watching on your computer, it should be super easy to click it. If you're watching us on your television, that's too big for my face, but we appreciate you. I don't know how to like it from your TV, but there's got to be a way. Like, press down on the arrow key and go over to the thumbs up button and like the stream. It's not that hard. We appreciate everyone for being here. A couple more questions and then we'll get out of here. I don't actually see anything right now, Justin, though. If you've seen something, we can hit it. Otherwise, we could start to close down.
I didn't see anything pressing, in all honesty. Yes, Rob, let's send Morgan Riley into the sun tonight. I agree with that. I think that's essentially it. This might do it for the final Friday live stream for the next 3 weeks.
Lauren Sebring says, we've won six games in like 40 games, LOL. I think it's closer to six in like 57 or 50-something. Six wins in the last fair. So maybe it's seven wins
because of the losing streak they ended the previous season on. They're 6-28 in their last 34.
There you
easy
go.
Math, because they are 3-14 in back-to-back years.
Maybe it's like 9 wins in the 58 games or something like that. And that the comment here, sell the team if that happens. If that's if they get the number one pick and Mike Borgonzi is fired, that would be a, just an utter disaster. I refuse to entertain it. Let's review our over-under picks, Justin, as we close this thing out here. We took over on Cam Ward. Wait, should I put it on the screen? Let's do it. We took over on almost everything, which is kind of scary and crazy. But we took over on Cam Ward passing yards, 3,400. Over on Cam Ward passing touchdowns, 18.5. We took the over. We took the over on 300-yard passing games for Cam Ward. Over one. We projected 1-2. Over on rushing touchdowns. We projected 2-3. The line is 1.5. That was an easy over for me. One of the easier ones. Tony Pollard, you know, barring injury or disaster, we expect him to go over 800 rushing yards. The rushing touchdowns line feels like just about right to me. I would pick the push if I could. We ultimately leaned the over, thinking he might get one or two more opportunities to get a touchdown than he has the past two seasons. Wandale Robinson, oh wait, we did Carnell Tate next. Carnell Tate, we ended up taking the over on the 800 receiving yards. The poll in the live chat was overwhelming majority for the over. And we took the over on receiving touchdowns too, 4.5. Wandale Robinson, we took the under on 724.5 receiving yards. If you take the over on Wandale, I feel like you got to take the under on Tate and vice versa. And that's not necessarily the case. I mean, they could both, like, Titans could have 2,000-yard receivers. Who knows? But I don't expect that to be the case this year in Carnell Tate's rookie year, in Cam Ward's first year in the offense. Roster Grid says he's still sitting on 2 yada yadas, just needs one more to hit his over on 2.5 yada yadas for the episode. He posted that comment while we were waiting for the stream to go live, and he's following it up here. And finally,
well, you gotta give him one. I'm the yada yada king, for crying out loud.
Does that count? I think that counts.
Ding, you didn't actually, I was waiting for the ding. There you go.
You didn't actually use it in a sentence. Well, you did, I guess. Yada Yada King is using it in a sentence. We took the over on Gunnar Helm's 400 receiving yards, and we took the under on Calvin Ridley, both of his props, 624.5 receiving yards and 3.5 receiving touchdowns. That's the recap. We also said that 12 sacks for Jeff Simmons felt like a reasonable number. 9 for John Franklin Myers feels like a reasonable number. And the under 4 on Femi Oladejo sacks, which is a made-up line that happened during the live stream. So we did it. We did the stream. Did we get to 50 likes? Moment of truth, Justin. 48 likes. Very sad to report a failure by the Audible Army to get us to 50 likes before the end of the stream, Justin.
Well, you know what? That's going to do it for it then, because you ungrateful. No, we're kidding. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. Final Friday live stream for a couple of weeks. But as a reminder, we will have Friday episodes going out. They're just going to be edited, pre-recorded episodes. As one of you said, take some Fridays off, boys. Hint, hint. We might just do that as we pre-record some episodes for you guys. Over
50 likes.
There we go. That's more. It just took me calling them ungrateful for us to actually get there. We will be back on Monday with a regular episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We'll see the live streamers in a couple weeks. But again, we'll have an episode next Friday, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Until Monday, when we're back, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.